Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome into another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. Today, discussing the proposed multi-hub that would break up the transit hub in Providence with Grow Smart Rhode Island's John Flaherty. All right, here we are Thursday, day four of our week-long series of daily podcasts ahead of the election. And this week, we've covered question one in Rhode Island, which pertains to removing Providence Plantations from the state's official name. You can hear that, as all the other episodes, wherever you're listening right now. That episode featuring Representative Anastasia Williams and Advocate Deb Suggs. On Tuesday, we spoke with Rhode Island's Attorney General Peter Nerona, trying to get the latest from his perspective on the Jamal Gonzalez investigation. And then yesterday we had Scott McKay of the Publix Radio breaking down the presidential election and what this year's election might mean for presidential elections going forward. Today, an issue that's not officially affected by this election, but technically will be quite affected by this upcoming election in terms of who's in the room to make decisions, what does leadership at the General Assembly look like, all of those things that factor into policymaking, and that issue being the proposed dismantling of Kennedy Plaza in Providence, Rhode Island. Now, you'll hear specifically as to why this is a major issue from a practical standpoint, also from a good civics engagement perspective in terms of hearing the voices of those who ride the buses here in the state, hearing the voices of those who are most impacted by a decision that would effectively make it far more inconvenient to take a bus from, say, I don't know, West Warwick into Providence and then go to work again, I don't know, up on College Hill. So just a lack of communication, it seems, between the Rhode Island Department of Transportation, other stakeholders in this matter, and those who are most impacted. So putting this on ahead of the election, because it's one of those issues that, yeah, it's not necessarily for the average Rhode Islander right front and center when you think of hot button issues or when you think of things that are impacted by decisions made during elections. But it certainly is something that will become a consequence of, again, who is in the room making the decisions and are they willing to listen to all of the stakeholders involved. So that's what's coming up today. We have John Flaherty of Grow Smart Rhode Island, who has been on the front lines of this conversation. And I think it was, a year ago that we had Tom Segouras on, who is another transit advocate here in the state. And so you can kind of go back and find that if you're really interested in this topic. Tom Segouras' episode, and no, I honestly don't remember exactly when it was, but I think it was at least a year ago. And then seeing how this matter has evolved and progressed over the last year to where we are now. And there are upcoming hearings and decision-making moments that will take place. And I'll probably be able to bring you insight into those via social media channels at Bill Bartholomew on Instagram and Twitter, or of course inside the Bartholomew Town Podcast Facebook group, which you can access via btown.stream. Okay, there's a lot going on in the state right now, certainly involving the Jamal Gonzalez Providence Police Department incident and everything surrounding that. Been trying to keep you up to date from a variety of perspectives on that matter, and we're working on all kinds of things related to it with respect to news conferences, with respect to the protests that we're seeing in the capital city. All of that has been live streamed, and I've been bringing you that on Facebook, inside the Facebook group. I guess my friends are maxed out, so the best way to follow this stuff is to go to btown.stream. That'll take you directly to the Facebook group, and of course, on the other social channels, bringing you inside as much as we can. This is a listener-supported program. There's a couple of ways you can support the show. One, wherever you're listening right now, leave a rating and review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. They've got the option there for you to leave a 1-5 scale star rating as to how you believe this program is. And you can type up a review if you feel like it as well. hey, pop a negative one up there if that's what your heart desires. But that's one way you can support the show. Another way is by becoming a B-Town Insider. You can do that by heading to patreon.com/BartholomewTown. For as little as $3 a month, you can help sustain this program. For $10 a month, you can become an insider. And just yesterday, I posted episode 004 of B-Town Insider, which you'll receive as exclusive content at the $10 per month membership level, a commentary that went on for like 22 minutes in which I discussed the elections, COVID, and social justice and everything that's playing out in the streets right now here in the capital city. So that's there for you if you'd like to support. You can also send me an email, Bill, B-I-L-L at ripodcast.com, and I can give you more info on what's going on. We have a lot coming up here in Bartholomew Town, a lot of new programming coming up. Some of you know there's going to be some work on PBS that's coming up later this year. I'll have more on that pretty soon. I've already started it. We've been working on it for a while, but it's going to start airing pretty soon. Some more podcast programming that's coming, and we're expanding the news coverage, the live streams, all of that. And your support means the world, however you're able to do it. Okay, let's get to it today. Day four of our week of daily podcast. Here we go. John Flaherty, Grow Smart Rhode Island, talking transit in the Ocean State. So today we're talking about an issue that is, look, I mean, it's a factor in so many contexts here in the state, and that is public transit, but specifically the proposals that are on the table right now, how to move forward with Kennedy Plaza and essentially the transit hubs in Providence. And I guess sort of lay out for the audience the proposal that is troubling, that is being, that is sort of being pushed right now, and then we can get into the alternatives and really more than anything what the consumer is looking for, the consumer being those who use public transit on a regular basis.
Sure, and thank you, Bill, for having me on as a guest to talk about this important issue. So my name is John Flaherty. I'm Deputy Director at Grow Smart Rhode Island. Grow Smart is a nonprofit policy think tank and advocacy organization. And we've been heavily involved in transportation for a very long time, in particular, advancing a much better transit system and integrating that with land use so that we have a vibrant, active Rhode Island. We are the second most urbanized state in the country, and there's no reason that we shouldn't have a first-rate transit system that gets more people where they're going. And one of the things that has always stuck with me is this one very simple statistic, and that is that almost 80% of our state's population lives within a 10-minute walk of a transit stop, which is just an amazing number. I don't think you'd find that in almost any other state. However, less than 3% of our population actually uses transit as a way to get to work. And so there's a big disconnect, and there's a lot of reasons why that is. And I give some credit to the administration for leading an initiative to look at our transit system from 30,000 feet and try to imagine how it could be reconfigured to work for more people. That's a good thing. But this proposal that has come from RIDOT sort of comes out of left field. It was not part of the transit master planning process. It was not the result of planning with stakeholders and riders at the table. It was a plan that came out of the State Department of Transportation's agency. This is the agency that builds and manages roads and bridges, not the transit agency. And so it seems as if this is being driven by the governor's administration to break up Kennedy Plaza. That's what this has really been about. And to scatter the transfer points among several hubs downtown. So this is the third proposal to come from RIDOT in the last 4 years. They've always met with a lot of resistance. You may recall about a year or so ago was the proposal for the tunnel plan, which got a lot of backlash. And then they went back to their drawing board without any input from riders and came back with another plan that essentially does the same thing. And so, you know, the real concern here is the impact that it has on both existing riders, but also what it means for attracting future riders, because we want to have a system that really works for more people. And adding more confusion, adding more transfer points, adding to the travel time that it would take to get from point A to point B, those things are not the way to go if you're looking to to address the issues of riders and potential riders.
Why do you think it is that the Department of Transportation and Director Alvidi have put forth these proposals? And I think back, there was at one point somebody had an idea to put something on the State House lawn. They were going to take part of the State House front lawn and build something. Why do you think it is that there's such a disconnect? I mean, just last week, I asked Joe Paolino, former mayor and obviously ambassador as well to Malta. He held a news conference and he was sort of touting the value of a multi-hub from really just breaking up the folks who are kind of hanging around in Kennedy Plaza. Do you think that that's influencing the decision-making process we hear from RIDOT?
Oh, I do. I do. In fact, Joe, and I like Joe, but he, as far as I can tell, has been the only person to advocate on behalf of this proposal. And in fact, he's been pushing for it. And he had previously hired his own architect to develop a concept for doing much of what is now being proposed. So, a lot of this comes from if we turn the clock back, in 2014, voters approved a first ever transit a bond referendum. It was $35 million. It won by, it earned the support of 60% of the voters. And that was to improve transit hub infrastructure throughout the state of Rhode Island. And at the time it was being marketed, and I know because I was part of the team marketing it, a coalition of groups, the focus was really on building a single hub at the Amtrak station. And that was a carryover from the previous DOT director when the bond language was being put forth. And there was a fair amount of stakeholder input on that. And the idea was to reconnect rail transit and bus transit, which had been separated ever since the train station was moved underground closer to the State House. And so there were different approaches for how to do that. But eventually RIDOT came back and said they determined that was no longer feasible. It wasn't really clear why it was no longer feasible, but it was no longer feasible. And you're right, there were proposals for the most recent of which was to construct an underground bus hub on the north side of the train station, which would have been under a lot of the parkland surrounding the State House. It would have actually increased the green space, by the way. It wouldn't have taken away from it. And there are plenty of examples of cities that have done similar underground transit hubs, you know, that are well-staffed, they're lit, they've got the amenities, the bathrooms, they're used just like you would use a train station.
Yep.
And I think that people have this perception in their head about bus transit riders. There's a sort of a built-in stigma. And having said that, I think it's really important for people to know that as transit riders, we don't think that everything is all well in Kennedy Plaza. We know that there are significant problems, safety, circulation problems. We understand that. And we're just frustrated that this has taken 6 years since the bond passed to actually get, and we're no closer to getting anything started than we were 6 years ago. And it's really frustrating because transit riders also want to see improvements made to Kennedy Plaza. But we just don't want to do that at the complete sacrifice of a transit system and sort of push transit out. I mean, transit is something that's vital to the vibrancy of a downtown. And so to suggest that you're going to sort of move that out as a way to create vibrancy is just nonsensical.
So can you sort of paint a picture for the listeners of what the latest proposal would specifically look like? It's a multi-hub concept that essentially is taking Kennedy Plaza and breaking up the hub into different locations. And right. That obviously would make it so, you're going to see people, I used to live in New York. So it's like, you got to sprint from the 6th train. Now you got to run across town to get on a different line to go to uptown or whatever it may be. So you're going to see that sort of activity. And it just seems like it's an utter inconvenience for anyone who would be riding a bus.
Yeah. And most cities, especially those our size, would give their eye teeth to have a place like Kennedy Plaza that is a central location for having transit. You know, having said that, again, there are some issues that need to be resolved. I'm not saying that everything is perfect there. But the proposal that has been before us by RIDOT would scatter the transfer points that currently take place in Kennedy Plaza to four different locations, one at the train station, one each at the very far extremes of Greater Kennedy Plaza, one by the Biltmore, one by the courthouse or the post office, and then one on Dyer Street in the Innovation District. The idea of serving the Innovation District, where there's been a lot more investment lately, makes very good sense, but the Downtown Transit Connector does that job right now. So there is no need to build any kind of a hub infrastructure there, in our opinion. So what that means for somebody who's taking transit is, let's say, for example, that you live in Cranston and you have a job at Brown University. And so you take your bus from Cranston currently into Kennedy Plaza, you switch and you get the one bus up to Brown. And that's done very conveniently in that one location. Under this new circumstance, they haven't shared the detailed data, which is another problem we have, but it's conceivable that person from Cranston is going to end up having to get off at the Dyer Street location and then take another shuttle or walk to the train station location in order to get their connecting bus to go up to Brown. And that just adds a level of confusion. It's time consuming to do that. When you turn a two-seat ride into a three-seat ride, there's a lot more waiting on either end for the connecting bus. So, you know, at this time of trying to rebuild to a better normal after the pandemic, the idea of making transit travel more difficult and more of a hassle for the people who do rely on it to get to work, to get to essential services, just doesn't make any sense. And that's, you know, considering that our governor has made multiple statements about the importance of us coming out of this pandemic toward a better normal, this doesn't seem like it achieves that at all. It makes it a worse normal.
Certainly does seem at minimum that it's not including the voices of those who use the system. Has that been a frustration you've encountered as well?
It has been. And, you know, when we look at how RIPTA typically does projects, there's a very public-facing, open process that they follow. This project is not being administered by RIPTA. It's being administered by RIDOT. And so, you know, what they will claim that they've engaged with various stakeholders, but what that means is they've assembled small groups of pockets of stakeholders where they've given their presentation. But it's not, it's a presentation about a plan that they've already developed. It's not working with people to figure out what are the most important characteristics of a bus hub from a rider's perspective. I mean, we're talking about plans that are being developed largely by people who don't use transit.
Right.
And that's a problem. So, and you know, fortunately for RIPTA, they still have board meetings, and to their credit, RIPTA always has a public comment period. And so people have flooded the RIPTA board meetings through Zoom to wait in line for the chance to express their outrage. And the city council of the city of Providence took up a resolution. They passed it unanimously last week opposing the RIDOT multi-hub plan. And they provided an opportunity to hear from people. But the state administration, aside from RIPTA, has not done that. This plan is being driven out of the governor's office and being implemented by RIDOT. And it's just wrong.
We're now, well, frankly, the election is already underway. I mean, we see the large numbers of people turning up at City Hall. There's city halls and other voting locations. And frankly, you know, the mail ballots and so on and so forth, it's already underway. But in theory, Election Day itself is coming up. And what, I guess, would be your message to those who retain their seats in the General Assembly, mm-hmm. or to those who are incoming to the General Assembly about what they can do to help shape a better new normal, specifically through the lens of transit, when we hit January?
Great, great question. And I actually just came back from voting myself.
There it is. Got the sticker.
So what I would recommend for people who, you know, are looking at this from an elections standpoint, The organization that I work for, Grossmont Rhode Island, every 2 years, we publish a briefing book for candidates and voters. And it's on a series of issues having to do with everything from community revitalization. In this case, there's a lot of focus on recovery from COVID and recovery in a way that is equitable to all Rhode Islanders. We've got an entire section on transportation, and I'd encourage folks to acquaint themselves with it, because whether you are a winning candidate and you want to be able to hit the ground running and have some resource guiding you about policy development, it's not a light read. It's got a lot of details in it. But for somebody who is interested in those details on policy, I would go to grossmartri.com, and you will see in the upper right-hand corner a link to the briefing book for candidates and voters.
Discover over 200 episodes of Rhode Island's podcast of record, the Bartholomew Town Podcast, on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your pods. Or head over to our website, ripodcast.com. Coming up on Tuesday, Election Day, I'll be bringing you live streams from all around the state, conversations with candidates and voters, and insight and analysis as to what's going on. Follow me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Bill Bartholomew, and join the Bartholomew Town Podcast Facebook group for up to the second coverage of Election Day here in Rhode Island. You've got a lot of information. You've got a lot of resources for people. Do you find that you're getting a good response already from whether it be the governor's office or advocates? By and large, do you think there's a good understanding of this issue?
I'd say there's a very good understanding of the issue. There's enormous engagement on the part of the public. We've got a petition that's got, maybe at this point it's over 1,000, but it was very close to 1,000 when I checked earlier in the week. People have been coming out to these, RIPTA has said it's the most number of people that they've ever encountered who want to speak at a board meeting on this issue. City Council, so there's no question that people are very, very engaged on the issue. And the organizations that have come out in opposition to this are very broad. It's everything from the, Providence Preservation Society to the Jewelry District Association, Grossmart, the Providence Foundation. I mean, there's a lot of organizations that have weighed in. The peculiar thing is that the administration seems dead set on continuing to ram this through. And even after the city council has come out with a resolution in opposition that they voted on unanimously, our next step, to be honest with you, is the legislature. And we're having conversations with legislators who chair committees to call for a hearing in their committee on this, because the legislature actually would have authority to step in where the city of Providence did not. And it's really very peculiar why the administration just continues to push this. Kennedy Plaza is probably the most reworked space anywhere in the state of Rhode Island. It's been done over and over and over again. And as taxpayers and transit riders, we want to make sure we get this right. If we're going to tear it up one more time, let's get it right once and for all. And the way to get it right is to involve the end users, involve the stakeholders, involve the public. And the process that RIDOT has undertaken does none of that.
Last question. What's your message to anyone out there who is hesitant to use public transportation? I lived in Newport for a few years, and look, if you wanted to come to Providence, it was almost unsustainable from start to finish, at least for any kind of, regular commute, so to speak. What's your message, though, to try to encourage more use? Because that 80% statistic, 80% of folks in Rhode Island live very close, whatever the number of minutes was, close to a transit spot.
Within 10 minutes.
Yep. Within 10 minutes. I mean, that is incredibly high. What's your message to anyone out there about using public transportation, especially obviously post-pandemic? That's going to change and the conversation will change. But just in general,
I would encourage folks who are intrigued with the idea of using transit to familiarize themselves with the plan that has been generated. It's a transit master plan, first ever in our state's history. You can find it at transitforwardri.com and look at some of the proposals that are in there, because the key here is that we all realize that people are going to make the rational choice about how to get from point A to point B, right? People who have a choice. you know, we talked about that less than 3% are using transit as a way to get to work. A lot of those folks don't have a choice, right? But for folks who have a choice, they're going to make that rational choice about it's going to be based on cost, convenience, time, travel. And so if you look at this plan, the goal is to significantly improve the convenience, to significantly improve the travel times. You mentioned about going from Providence to Newport, and I've taken that route many a time for my job to go down to Newport and meet with stakeholders. And for me, it's like an hour and three quarter trip.
Yeah,
You can do it in less than half the time if you're driving. So if it becomes so much more convenient, people begin to make that rational choice, and now you can begin to see a lot of cars off the road and people relying on transit instead because it is the convenient, rational choice. And oh, by the way, it's going to save you a lot of money individually, household transportation costs. If I can go from being a two car household to being a one car household, I'm saving about $10,000 a year between the the maintenance cost, the purchase price, and so forth. So I would take a look at that and see the changes that are being proposed in your neighborhood, level of service, frequency, type of service, the speed of getting across longer distances, integrating rail with transit better, making it more seamless. RIPTA has done a fantastic job of putting that vision together. And now the challenge is, are we gonna step forward and use whatever federal economic infrastructure stimulus funds are made available to implement the top priorities in the transit master plan? That would be something that if I was inclined to want to use transit, I'd be pushing for with my elected officials.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Discover daily digital content on Instagram at Bill Bartholomew and at Bartholomew Town Podcast.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.